You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
On a fairly typical morning, I get up, get everything ready, take a walk with my dog, kind of start the day with a little activity, and then I sit down and I go through the emails. Now, let me prepare you that my email collection every day is somewhere upwards of 1,500 emails. So I don't go through everything. I can't make it through all of them. If I just went through my emails, all I would be doing is looking at email all day, every day. And so I can't manage that anymore. But I do try to go through and make sure that I'm seeing if there are important pieces. And so sometimes I get messages. And just this morning, I counted 15 messages. And that's a pretty typical day. Were 15 messages that started out with something about describing why their situation was unique. And so their question was, okay, I've got these unique circumstances. Is your system going to save my marriage? Now, there are two pieces to that that are very important to look at. First of all, the uniqueness. What I've noticed is that everybody believes that their problems are unique. And yet, there is a very common theme to why relationships fall apart. As it turns out, it's kind of like saying I'm a unique human being, unique from you. That is true that you and I have some differences in how we look, and yet our DNA is very, very similar, just very slightly off. And because of that very slight variation, we can see a huge variation in what we look like and some of our interest and all those other pieces that make us who we are as individuals. And yet we're all human. We all use the same systems in our body. We all breathe the same air and process it the same way. We all need food the same way, water the same way, love the same way. We all have much more in common than we like to believe. That's the same with a marriage. As much as we would like to think that the problems involved in a situation in a marriage are unique, the same issues have cropped up every single time. So in all 15 of the cases I looked at today, and trust me, there were probably some more that I missed in there as I was kind of combing through my emails, those situations were all about the same process of falling apart and therefore the same process of coming together. One of the big mistakes we make is when we pretend that we're so unique that things don't apply to us. You know, I'm so unique that gravity doesn't affect me. Well, gravity is the same thing, and the limitations of being human are the same thing. And the way we work as humans and the way our mind is wired and the way we interact in the relationships are pretty much similar across the board. And so there isn't a whole lot of difference. How you have the individual traits of the conflict and how you might have had some extra pieces, you know, you can kind of add in the pieces to the puzzle, but how you fell apart and what you missed, where you missed the mark and where you need to move to, very similar. And so when people are asking me, can I save my marriage? I'm wanting a shift, and the shift is for them to say, I want to save my marriage and I will work at saving my marriage. That's the shift that has to happen for anything to get there. What I've realized is a lot of times those can I's are really trying to be disclaimers of finding a way around this to say, you know, I'm so unique that your method won't work. Well, I have yet to find where it shouldn't apply and couldn't apply. Let me be very clear at this point that I do not, and I have never believed, that every single marriage could be saved. I don't believe that at all. There are some marriages that cannot, and there are some that should not be saved. The should nots are the ones where there is abuse involved, and I'm really talking about physical abuse, but also emotional and verbal abuse, although that's a gray area that is a little bit more difficult to define. But if there is physical abuse, absolutely not. If there is what some way terms emotional or verbal abuse, then we have to look at that and say, probably not. You know, we need to look and see if there are some boundaries that need to be set and things like that. But those are the should not be saved. And then there are the ones that cannot be saved because a spouse absolutely refuses to reconsider. Those are the givens. And to be honest, I like to set those aside a little bit because you can never know about the could not be saved. The ones that should not be saved, those are very evident, very clear. And if that fits for you, then you can probably stop the podcast and decide how you need to exit. But for anyone else, this is about the could be saved. And the only way you can discover if it could be saved is by working to save it. That's the only way we know the outcome. I can tell you the statistics on how many marriages in the U.S. as a whole fail, and I can also tell you how many, statistically speaking, who go through my program save their relationship, but that doesn't matter. Statistics are broad numbers for broad groups, and this is about you and your specific situation. So how do you determine if it could be saved? By working to save your relationship. It's the only way we ever find that out. That's what worries me. Those are the ones that kind of keep me up at night and keep me working so hard, is the ones that could be saved but won't be saved. Why won't they be saved? Because the person who could push the process decides not to push the process, or has what I call a point of failure. Now, I really find that there are four points of failure, and I want to talk about three points of failure. The primary failure point that I've talked about in my training with my VIP members is a separate one. It's big enough that has a whole separate training in the VIP membership area, so I'm not going to go through that. That took me an hour, a little over an hour, to go through how to deal with the primary fail point, but I want to cover these three fail points, the points of failure that you have control over. You also have control over the primary fail point, or at least how you respond to that place that puts you in that primary fail point. But let's talk about these. They're a little more straightforward, and it doesn't require as much of the training from me that I needed to do with the VIP members. So these are the three points of failure, and when I tell you them, they're going to be obvious, and yet they are crucial to take on, crucial to examine, and crucial to make sure you don't miss. So the first point of failure is for the person who wants to save the marriage to not accept accountability or responsibility. And I put those in the same place. Accountability is really about, am I willing to be accountable to my spouse? Maybe am I willing to be accountable to a coach, to a therapist, to a friend who will keep me on track? They don't accept accountability, but the big thing behind that is because they don't accept responsibility. Now, let me be crystal clear. I am not talking about accepting responsibility for everything that's wrong in the relationship, or accepting responsibility that it's all on you to save the relationship. Sometimes people will make comments on my Facebook page or and some of my other social media and say, you know, it takes two to save a marriage. And they are correct. It does take two to eventually save a marriage. I mean, you can't, other than holding someone captive, you can't save a marriage without their participation. The good thing is you can start the process. And a lot of people, you know, they take this whole thing about it takes two to tango. And what they fail to notice is one person can start the tango. One person can ask the other person to dance. One person can lead the steps in the dance, or even change the steps of the tango, because you're already dancing. It's just the steps you're going to dance. And so what I'm talking about here in responsibility is not saying mea culpa. I am all at fault here. I'll take it all on myself, and everything that's wrong with the marriage is mine. That's not what I mean at all. But do you take responsibility, meaning the ability to respond differently to the situation? Do you take on accountability? So one of my ways of imagining responsibility is the difference between standing in a burning building and asking, who lit this fire? And somebody saying, I am going to take responsibility to get myself out and to get everybody else out that I can. That's the difference between blame, fault, and responsibility. Responsibility is choosing to take action where you are, where things are right now, to get the process going. That's the whole basis for why I believe that one person can start the process. So even if you're the only one who wants to save your marriage, there are still things you can do to start the process and bring your spouse back in. I just want to remind you that at the beginning of your relationship, one or the other of you took responsibility to beginning. Somebody started that conversation. Somebody made the phone call. Somebody sent the text. Somebody, you know, sent the ping on the dating website. Somebody started that process, and it's no different here. You start the process. you begin to build a foundation. You know where you're headed. You learn all those pieces and you bring the other person in. So what do I mean now about accepting responsibility? I want to put it in four different areas. Do you show up? Are you truly present with your spouse? Are you truly present with your emotions? Are you truly there when you're having a conversation? Or are you simply waiting for your turn to throw the rebuttal at your spouse? Do you show up? Do you bring your energy? Do you bring your presence to that? And in order to do that, you have to do a couple of other things. One, have you apologized? Have you actually taken accountability to your spouse for the places where you fell short in your relationship? Taking accountability is an important part. In fact, I provide a whole training on how to do that apology letter with the VIP members because it's so important. I want to walk them through and review their letter and make sure they're on task. It takes a while, which is why we have that in the VIP program. But you don't have to be there to make the apology. You can apologize. You can make sure that your spouse knows that you take accountability for the places where you realize you fell short. Now, it's not a chance for you to turn around and say, well, how about you? You know, are you apologizing? This is where you're taking it on for yourself right now and for the relationship right now. The second thing on the backside of apologizing is, have you forgiven your spouse? I have a core belief that people do the best they can where they are. That doesn't mean they're optimal, but it's doing the best they can where they are. I have a secondary belief that forgiveness is for the person who is forgiving, not for the person who's forgiven. So have you forgiven your spouse for the places where they fell short? Why do you need to do that? Because if you don't forgive, you can't show up. You'll hold on to resentment. You'll carry that stuff into the present. You'll carry it into the future, and you find yourself bound up. So have you worked to forgive your spouse? If you want information on the process of forgiveness, go to either my blog, SaveTheMarriageBlog.com, or the Thriveology blog, Thriveology.com, and just type in forgiveness in the search engine and find my stuff on forgiveness. I'll give you a step-by-step process of how you can forgive. Then the last part of that responsibility is, are you seeing things for where they are? A lot of times we do a lot of wishful thinking or a lot of denial, or we always are asking the question, why did it happen? Not where am I now and what do I do, but always looking back on the why did it happen? Let me give you a little secret. That's the blame game. That's the place where we're looking for somewhere to point that finger, and we don't want it to be ourselves, which is why we have a hard time showing up and apologizing and forgiving when we don't see things as they truly are. So the first thing, the first primary point, or the first point of failure, not the primary point of failure, but the first point of failure that is important for you to think about is that you don't accept accountability and responsibility. The second point of failure is you don't prepare. This is a very crucial thing. When you're in this process, you know, you can't just jump in and run because there are some changes that need to happen within you and within the relationship. And unless you're preparing yourself for that, you're not going to make it. So what I hear all the times is people say, I'm going to change. That's not preparing. Preparing is making those changes and letting your spouse experience it. So many times I tell people, don't tell your spouse how you're going to change. Be the change. The reason for that is when you tell your spouse that you're going to change, then they're on the lookout. Have you really changed? Where have you failed to change? More than that, there is, you think you're doing an explanation of what's going on, and all they hear is the excuse when you start that process. And so when you say, here, I need to change this, and they're hearing is all the places where you're looking for that excuse and think that it won't happen. Probably along the way, you've already said, hey, I'm going to change, and didn't. That's the nature of this. Now, your spouse may have said the same thing, but guess what? Your spouse isn't here. So this is where you're stepping up and saying, I'm going to make the changes. So have you made a plan? Do you have that plan for how you're going to change? How you're going to change the relationship? How you're going to change yourself? How you're going to change the direction of the whole relationship? Do you know where you're trying to get to? That we I talk about, being that we, that team, that we're in this together, that most people don't even realize that's what you're trying for. So the problem is, as you are not preparing, you might not have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, it's going to go sideways. That's one of the big pieces of the difference between when people are successful anywhere in life and when they're not, is do they have a plan? back when I started college, I remember this was back in the paper days, and I see a difference now that my kids are in college, but they handed us this book. It was a handbook that had all the rules about the campus and all of these different notes about the campus, and then there was this part in there that told me what I had to do in order to graduate. That was my plan. And so I could vary a little bit. You know, I could choose my electives and I could maybe take things one semester, not another semester, but I had to cover the core curriculum that they gave me. And that book was my plan for the next 4 years. And I remember by the time I finished, it was ratty and ugly. But if they ever changed the rules in midstream, I could still rely on my rules. I could still rely on the plan that they had given me at the beginning. And it's kind of like that. Do you have a plan to keep you on focus? Because sometimes in a semester, I'd go, I don't really want to take this. I want to take something easy. And I would look and say, wow, if I'm going to stay on track, I've got to follow this plan. And sometimes I would say, okay, where am I in this plan? And I could look and see how close I was to moving through. That's the nature of a plan. It keeps you on track. Part of that preparing is taking care of yourself, too. One of the things that I appreciate about Stephen Covey's work is he always talked about sharpening the saw, that you spend some time really taking care of yourself as an important piece, because you in this process are the most important tool you have. You're the one that's going to drive this process. You're the one that's going to be in the relationship that gets restored. You're the one who's going to relate to your spouse in different ways. So you got to make sure you're taking care of yourself. So if you don't prepare by taking care of yourself, by getting your strength and taking care of your rest and taking care of the food you're eating and all those important pieces, then you're going to find that begins to fall apart. This is important enough that I'm launching a new series on my Thriveology podcast about having a thriving body. And this is true for everybody. Everybody ought to be taking care of themselves, because that's the tool that carries you through life for as long as you can. That's the way we get through life. It's in this body of ours. So do you have a plan? Have you made a plan? Do you have a plan? Are you following your plan? And are you taking care of yourself? That gets us away from that didn't prepare place. Okay, the third point of failure is you don't work the program. This is the one that I see come up over and over. I hand you a program. I hand you a system. That's the Save the Marriage system. And it's right there to follow. And then people don't. And the reason I know people don't is they contact me and they tell me how they're following my system. And here's what happened. They did, and they'll do something that I specifically said, do not do. I have one module that is the top five things not to do. And somebody will tell me, well, it's not working. You know, I did this, this, and this. And I'm going, wow, those are three things that I have in my don't do this list. And so obviously you're not really working the program. One way you can defeat anything, whether it's a diet or an exercise plan or your education plan or your work or anything else, is to not work the program, not follow what's there. I have done a lot of business consultation and I've worked with some franchises. And one of the things I notice when I get in there, that franchisees sometimes decide not to work their franchise's program, and they get themselves into trouble because the franchise knows the program works. You fill in the blank, you move forward, and it all works. Well, that's kind of what I try to do, is create this plan that if you work the plan, then you get the results. If it's possible, and I do have to put that as a big disclaimer, if it's possible to save your marriage, we got the program to do it, but you got to work the program. So whenever I hear from someone and they tell me how they didn't work the program, but they're not telling me that as, oh, I didn't work your program. They're telling me how they've got my stuff and it's not working. And then they tell me all the things, and I just can point to 5-6 things that they're not doing that's in the program. So you have to work the program. Part of working the program is gathering that information, but then it's about following through. It's about making sure that you're checking in with yourself and following yourself. This is one of the reasons that I created the Thrive Journal, and I use that with my coaching clients, that on a daily basis, they can prepare their day in the morning and reflect on it in the evening, and it keeps them working the program on a daily basis. It's also why I provide the weekly training in my membership program, so that people stay on track with that. You don't have to have that, but you have to have some way of making sure you're working the program on a regular basis. Don't just gather information. So many times I hear people say, oh yeah, I'm trying to make some changes. You know, I bought several books. And my first question is, have you read them? And second is, are you following them? Because a lot of times we like to gather information and I look around. I'm sitting in my office looking around at the books I haven't read, at the courses I haven't gone through. We all do it. We are in a glutted economy of information. And the problem is we have to at some point say, this is the information I'm going with. This is the program I'm going to follow. And then you have to follow it. So don't just gather the information. For me, that's a whole lot like when somebody goes, ready, aim, 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 and they never shoot. The only action that matters is aiming and shooting, right? Ready, aim, shoot. That's what's got to happen to get anything going. And it's true, whatever plan you're following, you want to stick with it and make sure that you're following the plan. So once again, let's go through these points of failure. Number one, that you don't accept accountability or responsibility. That's got to happen as a core piece of this to move forward. Number two is you don't prepare. You're not getting ready. You're just jumping in or just kind of willy-nilly going through it kind of by the seat of your pants. And number three is you don't work the program following the steps. You got to make sure that all those pieces go together. Hopefully this gives you a kind of a redirection, right? A way to make sure you're on track and a way to make sure you're moving forward. I've mentioned a couple of resources that could be helpful for you. One is we do have Save the Marriage System. If you don't have the program to work, that's the program that I would recommend. And I'm a little biased since I created it. But if you've been listening to the podcast and you're going, you know, all this makes sense to me and you still haven't grabbed the system, my only question is why? Why not work a program and move forward? Why just listen to the podcast and then let that kind of seep in? Why not grab the program and have that with you so you're ready to move forward? Also mentioned the VIP program. Now, that is in no way necessary for you to have. People always say, do you think I need it? The question is not, do you need it? Do you want it? I believe that everybody could use some coaching. Everybody needs some coaching. I've got coaches I work with whenever I come up on a problem for myself. And so I know the power of the coaching. The question is not, do you need it, but do you want it? Are you ready to step into that and maybe take on a few more things? I do have resources in the VIP program. It's not just about the virtual coaching. There's a lot of training that happens there, a lot of resources. We've got the fill in the blank plan to save your marriage. I have training about the apology ladder and other steps to connect. So there are a lot of good things there. And the reason I have them there is because it gives me a chance to work with you through the coaching. You just want to make sure you have that fundamental foundational piece, the Save the Marriage System. In fact, if you grab the Save the Marriage System, if you don't have it yet, you grab the Save the Marriage System, I'm going to give you an invitation right in that process to join me for a free trial in that VIP program. If you've already got the system, you know kind of what's there and you know you need something else, well, you can get the VIP program. To get the Save the Marriage System, just go to savethemarriage.com. If you already have the system and you're ready to step into the virtual coaching, simply go to savethemarriage.com/virtual coaching. That's savethemarriage.com/virtual coaching. Or you can click the links that are in the show notes right below this. Otherwise, avoid those points of failure. If you're curious about that primary point of failure, join me in the VIP program and you'll get a whole hour of training on it. Otherwise, take responsibility. Prepare yourself. Work the program. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.